Matthew chapter 7 in your Bibles this morning. This portion of Scripture takes me back to when I was a kid and a song we used to sing. You will understand in a moment. Verse 24, Matthew chapter 7. Therefore, whosoever heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them, I will liken him unto a wise man which built his house upon a rock. The rain descended and the floods came and the winds blew and beat upon that house, and it fell not, for it was founded upon a rock. And everyone that heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them not shall be likened unto a foolish man which built his house upon the sand. And the rain descended, the floods came and the winds blew and beat upon that house, and it fell, and great was the fall of it. It came to pass when Jesus had ended these sayings, the people were astonished at his doctrine, for he taught them as one having authority and not as the scribes. It is the prerogative of deity to speak of vast and sweeping themes in a very few words. In this portion of Scripture, everyone is building a life. Everyone is choosing a foundation, and the storms will come to us all. So my question this morning is, what are your values? So let me define values. Your values are your core beliefs that shape everything that you do in life. The principles, the ideals, the desires that shape everything you do, it's your foundation. If you want to build a life of meaning and purpose and significance, you must build your life on a foundation that will last. You've got to build your life on the rock. As we look around today, things are coming apart at the seams. We're coming apart. So I have some thoughts about that this morning. You knew I would. First of all, the catalyst of the crisis. Two words. Truth decay. Instead of valuing truth, we in our society value two things. Convenience, is it easy? And pragmatism, does it work? The fact that we don't value truth today is a major shift in the way that people think. 50 years ago, our society knew the difference between right and wrong. Not that we always chose right, but we knew what was right and what was wrong. Young people today cannot tell the difference between right and wrong. And I don't say that to trash young people. My generation is responsible for that. Somewhere along the way, we have failed to say this is absolute truth, and truth matters. So what happened? Let me give you three philosophies that have destroyed our concept of truth. First of all, individualism. I will just live for myself. Individualism is not new. The very last verse in the book of Judges says this, and every man did that which was right in his own eyes. I'm just going to live for me. I'm going to do what is right. And folks, do right in their eyes. It wasn't they set out to do wrong. They set out to do right, but their right was wrong. It just sounds pretty contemporary for us today. That's an easy philosophy to embrace. Just please yourself. Second of all, secularism. Simply stated, God is unnecessary. In our society, we have systematically and systemically removed God from every public arena, or we have tried to do that. And when you remove something, something will replace it. If you remember in your biology class, nature abhors a vacuum. And when you remove something, it creates a vacuum and it will be filled with something. I want you to go with me to Romans chapter 1. Romans chapter 1. And look at verse 25. Here's what I'm talking about. Who changed the truth of God into a lie, and worshiped and served the creature more than the Creator, who is blessed forever. Amen. That's secularism. We worship stuff. Man is incurably religious, and we will worship. The Bible simply puts it this way. We are lovers of pleasure more than lovers of God. Third is relativism. No absolutes. Nobody can say what's right and wrong because it's all relative. It's vague. There's a corollary to this philosophy, and it is this. It doesn't matter what you do as long as you're sincere. You can do anything you want as long as you're sincere about it. Doesn't matter what you believe as long as you're sincere. But folks, actions do matter, and beliefs do matter, and truth by its very nature is narrow. Straight is the gate, and narrow is the way that leads to eternal life, and few there be that go in thereat. Baptists have been characterized as being narrow-minded and intolerant. Here's what tolerance means from the dictionary. I'll respect you and treat you with dignity even though I adamantly disagree with you. Okay? That's what tolerance from the dictionary is. And we are to be tolerant. We should never treat people shabbily. We are to treat people with love and dignity, because that's exactly what Jesus Christ did when he was here on this earth. Jesus accepted people without approving of their lifestyle. But here's the deal, folks. Tolerance doesn't mean that anymore. In our society, tolerance means that every idea is equally valid, and every idea is equally true, and every lifestyle is equally right. And folks, that's not right. That's wrong. Truth is very, very narrow. That's its nature. The thought that all ideas are valid and true is absolutely crazy. We call that being woke today, and how foolish that is. I want you to go with me to Ephesians chapter 4. Ephesians chapter 4. We're going to begin reading in verse 17. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 17. This I say, therefore, and testify in the Lord, that ye henceforth walk not as other Gentiles walk, in the vanity of their mind, having the understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God through the ignorance that is in them because of the blindness of their heart, who being past feeling have given themselves over unto lasciviousness to work all uncleanness and greediness. Second of all, what's the consequences of these things? What's the cost of having no values, no standards, no absolute? If you get rid of that, something has to fill it. And Paul just told us in Ephesians what happens. I'm not overstating it at all. If we are doing these things and continue to do them, it is going to cause the collapse of life as we know it. Listen to this. In the next 30 minutes, 228 children will be beaten, molested, or otherwise abused. 57 kids will run away from home. 3 out of the 4 girls that run away from home will become prostitutes. 285 kids will become victims of a broken home. In 24 hours, 14 kids will be murdered. 3,356 students will drop out of school. 3,533 babies are born to unwed mothers. The United States is by far the greatest producer of pornography in the world. Proverbs chapter 28 and verse 18 says this, "Where there is no vision, the people perish." You know what the word vision means there? It means open revelation. Where there is no open revelation of this book, ladies and gentlemen, the people perish. And we are seeing that on an increasing level every day. Where there is ignorance of God, crime runs wild. There is a source of truth. It is a book. It is the standard. Not always easy to do, but it's still the truth. We kill unborn babies and don't even keep statistics of the killing of the elderly that's going on today. We call marriage out of date and confining, degrading to women, and we don't need it unless, ladies and gentlemen, you're gay, and then we really push same-sex marriages. Psalm 11 and verse 3 says this, "If the foundations be destroyed, what can the righteous do?" This nation was built on the truth of who God is and His Word. We have 15,000 founding father documents. 34% of those documents quotes directly from the Word of God. In the Declaration of Independence, the Bible says, and this is our founding document, folks, everything else emanates from the Declaration of Independence. It says we are endowed by our Creator with certain inalienable rights, but we don't teach creationism. Is it any wonder why kids are so confused? Our founding documents, we are endowed by our Creator, and we don't teach creationism. Third, so what's the cure? Very simply, we've got to rebuild the foundation. We got to go back to where we first started. Roger Howe, who used to be our song leader for 20 years at this church, he used to sing a song, and part of the the words was this: we'll go forward if we'll just go back. And that's the truth. Rebuild the foundation of your life. Rebuild the foundation of your marriage. You've been married a long time, and now we all just take so much for granted. You've got to go back to the foundation. Here it is. I, Kim, take thee, Tina, to be my lawfully wedded wife, for better or worse, for richer, for poor, in sickness and in health, to love and to cherish until God by death shall separate us. That is a commitment and a covenant that I made with Tina over 50 years ago. We've got to go back to the foundations. Some of your families are just crumbling. Are you going to trust the National Education Association or the government or TV to build your family? It's never too late to start over. Proverbs chapter 2 and verse 9 says, "Then shalt thou understand righteousness and judgment and equity, yea, every good path." 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16, the Bible says, "All scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine and reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness." This book tells us what is true and shows us what is wrong in our lives. It straightens us out and teaches us to do what is right. Truth, ladies and gentlemen, is universal. It applies to everyone all the time in all generations. Truth is unchanging. Truth never changes. So here's your choices this morning. You can build your life on internal choices. Whatever you think is the way you go. But let me remind you what Jeremiah said: the heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked, who can know it? Or you can build your life on eternal choices, things that last. Tina and I went through Kansas some time ago, through a little town called Greensbury, Kansas. Several years before we went through there, a huge tornado had swept the town clean. Most of those little towns in Kansas, when you pull in, the first two things you see are two big old silos and then just a few buildings. And then you go to the next town about 20 miles away, same thing, two big old silos. That's Kansas. That was Greensbury, Kansas. That tornado came through and swept the town clean. No buildings were left. A young man who was valedictorian of his class that year gave a speech at another venue because his high school was gone. Here's what he said: "I got lost in my hometown. There were no landmarks." And then with great emotion, he said, "We have to rebuild so I don't get lost." We have to begin the process of rebuilding this morning. It needs to start now, and it needs to start with you. Let's pray. Oh, Father, thank you for your wonderful word. Thank you for the direction that it gives to us. Thank you, Holy Spirit, for taking the word of God and speaking to our heart and making us a better child of God than we've ever been. And dear Father, the day declares that we need to humble ourselves before you, and we need to rebuild what we used to have. Oh, dear Father, please. If there's someone here that's not saved, may in a few moments when we give the invitation, may they come forward and we can show them how to go to heaven. And then, dear Father, for those of us who have been saved, what are we going to do for our kids and for our grandkids? For the kids in our life that we love so very much, we need to begin to rebuild so those kids can find their way home. Oh, Father, thank you for the cross. Thank you for loving us. Thank you, dear Jesus, for dying for us. Help us to be obedient to thee in all things. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's stand, ladies and gentlemen.